Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come to you knowing that you gave everything for us, and we have no way of fully repaying you, and yet feel obligated and have a desire to serve you better and to love you more. Help us as we once again look in your word to see what you have for our minds and our hearts, and for renewing and transforming us. Amen. We continue to be in Ephesians and chapter 5. Last week we were on verse 25. We're kind of still on verse 25 because it was in the middle of a sentence, and part of verse 26, we're still in the middle of a sentence. The title today is Love as Christ Loved. Again, to put this into context, back in verse 21 was submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this is for all of us. It's not just, you know, wives submit, husbands lord it over them. That's not what's in Scripture. It's submit to one another. And then the next section talks about wives, it talks about husbands, talks about children, parents, slaves, masters, all the different social relationships require mutual submission in order to be successful. But in order to have mutual submission and to do this appropriately and right, we need to be filled with the Spirit, which you talked about earlier. So here's today's text. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Now again, in submission, you're voluntarily making yourself available for the benefit of others. And we're to do that as Christ did for the church. And it's kind of strange to think we're all sinners, right? I mean, if you're not aware of that, you're probably not paying attention to your heart, your mind, your actions. We're sinners. We sin sometimes. And in order to have fullness in the kingdom of God, we need to be perfect. We need to be holy, 100% sanctified. We can't do that in our own strength. That's what Jesus did for us. He submitted to the cross. He submitted to the will of the Father. He submitted because he wanted to put himself in a position to save us, so that we can take off our sins and put on his righteousness. He deployed himself in a position of support to defend the people that he loves. So, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. I guess I'm slowing down a little bit even more here, because I've never really thought of myself as being in a position to try to help my wife be holy, to help my wife be sanctified or set apart or fully prepared for eternity through perfection, through full holiness, righteousness. That sounds like a huge responsibility that I couldn't possibly fulfill. And yet, it says that husbands were to love as Christ loved. And the first example of Christ's love that's given in this passage is he gave himself up. He gave himself up for her, the church, the bride, to make her holy. This isn't saying that I can make my wife holy. But I'm supposed to love as Christ loved. I'm supposed to love in such a manner that I'm willing to give up my own desires, to give up my wishes, my plans, whatever it takes for my wife, for her good, for her betterment, for whatever is necessary to help her to be more holy, just as Christ did. I'm going to go through some scriptures here, and I'm just leaving the references up there if you want to follow along. You can find a green Bible, or if you get your own Bible, or if it's on an app or something, I recommend getting the Bible on your phone. It's a nice way to just punch buttons and look, you can read God's Word wherever you are. It's better than playing some of the games you find on the phones, but hey, up to you. 2 Corinthians, and you've heard this already in the announcement, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We can become holy because God made Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us. When he's on the cross, all of our sins are laid on him. Past, present, and future. All of our sins are laid on him. And without that act of submission that Christ did to make us holy, we wouldn't even have the opportunity for righteousness. We could try and try and try and never get there, never attain it. But through Christ, we can do all things. 1 John chapter 4. Now again, John is the disciple that Jesus loved. John spent a long time with Jesus, a few years, and got very, very close to him. He was so close that when Jesus is on the cross, laying his life down for us, submitting to the will of the Father, he turns to John from up on the cross and points to his mom and says, "Behold your mother." And then to Mary, "Behold your son." And he gives John, this disciple that he loves, the responsibility to care for his mom. And John's able to do that through his lifetime, through her lifetime. All of the disciples ended up being martyred in one way or another. John was, according to the government, supposed to be martyred. They stuck him in boiling oil. From an EMT point of view, would he have any chance of survival? And yet he came out of that. And what can the government do? It's like they wanted to kill this guy, just like they killed Jesus. They keep thinking if they kill somebody, they can make this movement go away. So they tried to kill John and it didn't work. So they ended up putting him on an island in isolation, an island of Patmos. And he's living in a cave, a damp, dumpy, awful place to be. And you think, okay, he's got no chance now of proclaiming the gospel. There's no way that he can further the ministry of Jesus from this isolation in a dumpy cave. And then the Lord comes to him and gives him the book of Revelation. This is the John that we're reading from. So he wrote the Gospel of John, the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote Revelation all through the inspiration of Jesus. And the one thing that John kept coming back to again and again in all of his writings was, I met God face to face. I walked with him. We got to see him. We got to hear him. We got to be with him. And he knew Jesus as love. And he writes about that in this epistle, 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. We're on page 1863 in the Pew Bibles. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was sent to make us holy. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. for us to be completely holy, we have to be like Jesus. We imitate Christ. Husbands, we love our wives as Christ loved the church in order to make her holy. That was his whole purpose for coming, was to lay his life down for us. If you go to John 17, again, this same disciple is writing his experience of being with the Savior, with Jesus. And I know that we think of the Lord's Prayer as "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And yet the true Lord's Prayer is in chapter 17 of John. We're on page 1651. Jesus is praying for his disciples before he goes to the cross. This is the prayer that the Lord gives to the Father. And apparently, some of the disciples were close enough that they could hear this as he's grieving in the garden, as he's sweating blood, he's going through agony, knowing what's about to happen. He's going to be separated from the Father. He's going to have all the sins of all the generations of all of us crazy people laid on him. And he knows this. And as he prays, his mind isn't like just about, "Oh, protect me, save me." I mean, he does say, you know, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." But mostly he's talking about, I want these ones that I love, Father, to be protected and cared for. In verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them, purify them, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself." I set myself apart for those that are going to come, for those that are already followers and those that will be followers in the future. "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified," that they too may be truly set apart and holy and prepared for eternity in the presence of God. That's the heart of Jesus as he's laying his life down, as he's preparing to go to the cross. He's like, he's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for those disciples that he walked with on the earth here. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews is an interesting book. I believe it was written by Paul also. There's not 100% agreement on that, but whoever is written by, it's inspired by God, and it's useful and profitable for teaching, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for rebuke. It's a very useful book, and it ends up talking a lot about what the old law and everything in the Old Testament was, and how it really hasn't changed, but it's just been fulfilled through Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, we're on page 1835 in the Pew Bibles. "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship." The Old Testament, it was set up that the Hebrew people would have the priests present sacrifices every day. And it says in Scripture that never was going to make them holy. It was just a picture of what the perfect true sacrifice was going to be. "This reason, it can never be the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, never by that, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But because it didn't purify them, it didn't make them holy, the next day they still felt guilty for their sins. They still had to present another sacrifice continually." You know, how many of us as followers of Jesus, as followers of the way, we realize sometimes that we're not holy And without the remission of sin, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And if we think, okay, well, maybe I should find something to sacrifice. It's like, that's not going to help. It didn't help in the Old Testament. It wouldn't help now. What can we do? We can only turn to Jesus. And recognize that sacrifice has been paid for. That's covered. That's taken care of. And again, our good friend, disciple John says that if you confess your sins, Jesus is faithful and he's just. He's both faithful and just. He'll forgive your sins. How can he do that? Well, because they've been paid for. And then he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So then we don't have to feel guilty because the guilt is gone. We still may feel a little shame. We may still need to go and make things right if we've sinned against a brother or sister. We need to correct that. We need to find a way to heal wounds. Verse 3, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I've come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. When Jesus, the high priest, Jesus, the prophet, priest, and king, Jesus, the one that fulfills all of Old Testament, when he laid his life down, that sacrifice paid it all. And sacrifices didn't have to be repeated after that. Verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's us. We can keep turning to Jesus because he truly has paid it all. He's covered it all. We can just keep going back to him again and again. A couple more chapters further, Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 14 and 15. We're on page 1840 in the Pew Bibles. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. It's so easy for us to allow bitterness to start stirring in us. Something happens, someone offends us, things don't go the way we'd like them to. Just let that little root of bitterness start growing. And we forget about the grace of God. We forget about the fact that he's covered us. We realize that we need to have perfect holiness in order to enter the kingdom of God. And we also realize, I hope we realize, that that's not something I can do in my own strength. But through Jesus, through his grace, through his mercy, through his love, we can enter the kingdom with boldness. I'm going to ask Kathy to come up and play a song. I'm going to distribute elements, or Don, if you want to do that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you. Kathy. Now these are supposed to work so that you can separate the wafer from the fruit of the vine. Going back to Corinthians, Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful for your grace, for your mercy, for your covering, for making us righteous and holy in your sight. Thank you, Jesus, for that ultimate sacrifice. Amen.